This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
And horrifying news story.
Now, I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
All right, top stories of the day, at least according to me. We're going to get into some NBA news here, Angel. It sounds like Zion Williamson will not play against the Kings tomorrow night. He is out.
Yes, listed as out with a right hamstring injury.
Kings gonna win this thing? I'm gonna pick the Kings to win that game, FYI. Could they give the Thunder a run for their money?
I think they could. Very interesting. I thought the Thunder are where the Kings were at last year, and the Kings maybe had a bit of a disappointment this year. Maybe it's a bit of a redemption, like, oh, we're gonna get to the second level we thought we should have been at, while the Thunder are still on their way up.
Yeah, boy, is Malik Monk, is he out?
I believe so.
He's out for the playoffs for the foreseeable future. That's a big one there. But the Kings played fantastic, and I am gonna get into the Golden State Warriors talk throughout this hour. You know what's next for the Warriors? What's going on with the with that dynasty right there, man? Have we seen the end of it?
Yeah, you see the picture of Steph, you Clay, and Draymond.
You mixed them. Yep.
Sitting on the bench together and wondering, is that the last time we'll see those three on the same team?
Clay's a free agent, right?
He is.
Unrestricted free agent, I believe. Mm-hmm. Listening to Curry, it sounds like, you know, back in February, he said they want to, ultimately, they want to finish it how they started it. So they would love to be together. In this day and age, how difficult will that be? And with the new NBA, their CBA and all that stuff, it's going to get harder to have basically three monster contracts out
sure.
there.
Clay's not the same Clay. Draymond is. You never know what you're going to get with him. And
yeah,
I wouldn't classify Steph as a ring chaser, but he may want to go somewhere
else.
Does
he deserve that, though? Does Steph deserve that? Like, a lot of times we bash LeBron, and Flying Dutchman is going to get after me here. I think there's a difference. LeBron's a ring chaser. Steph has been with Golden State. He's going on his 16th year, dude. Next year will be his 16th season.
And he won two titles without Kevin
Without
Durant.
Kevin Durant. He won two with him. I mean, he's not a ring chaser. He helped establish that culture for Golden State. If there's not a lot of guys that I say, like Todd Helton, Angel, he was one of those guys. For the Rockies, I totally would have given him a pass. Not that they need me to give them a pass, but you wouldn't have batted an eye at that. You wouldn't bat an eye. You'd say, good for you, Todd. Go get something cool. Go get it. I was kind of the same way with Von Miller. You know, when he left Denver, he was really emotional. He did not really want to leave, but I was rooting for him. Go out and get a ring, man. You know, it ain't happening here anytime soon, so I'm rooting for you. Golden State, based on what this roster is right now, will not be in the finals anytime soon.
Would it be a Tom Brady type of feeling for Steph?
Yes. Yeah, that's a good one. Because it's not LeBron. It's not, you know, all these guys that
not
have just
Jordan
been
on the Wizards.
Yeah. Well, even Jordan wasn't really a ring chaser. It was just a can I still do it chaser. And I kind of can. It wouldn't be one of those. It's not like James Harden and all these guys in the league that have just switched so many teams the last few years. Curry would be like, when does he retire, you know? This is the furthest, this is the fastest, I should say, that the Warriors have ever been eliminated in the Curry-led era. He's not used to this. Curry said last night, he's like, I've got to go be volleyball dad next week. I don't know what to do with myself. What am I going to do? Because he's usually playing at least mid-May.
Yeah, you know, Obviously, his kids are getting older. He is the godbrother of Cameron Brink, a WNBA future star. Mm. Could he maybe go into that area, maybe try to be a promotional face of the WNBA?
I know he's passionate about that. He's talked about it a lot.
Maybe his daughter eventually rises up into that type of athleticism.
Yeah. Well, right now's the time to jump in. Right now's the time to buy some stock in the WNBA. All right, speaking
can't buy a Caitlin Clark jersey, though.
You can't?
You cannot.
Why?
They're sold.
They're out. They're gone?
Every size is gone.
Wow. You have a golden goose right there, man. I hope they're acting accordingly. All right, Angel. Let me get to this. This isn't really a top story of the day, but I want to put it out there. President Biden tweeted this out last. Now, does he tweet it or do his people tweet?
I don't think Biden actually tweets.
I don't. Okay. But this did come from his account, and I don't talk politics. I rarely get into that, unless it really crosses over into the sports world, and I still try to keep it. I try to keep the main thing, Angel. But in this case, I had to say something. This isn't life or death here either. We're talking sports. So from President Biden's account, women in sports continue to push new boundaries and inspire us all. But right now, we're seeing that even if you're the best, women are not paid their fair share. It's time that we give our daughters the same opportunities as our sons and ensure women are paid what they deserve. Angel, it's basic economics. They are getting the same. Title IX ensures that. They all get the same opportunities to get a scholarship, to go play college basketball, to go get NIL deals. The free market spoke. How much is Caitlin Clark worth on her in her NIL situation? I would be curious to know that because I would like to send that out.
She was estimated about $3.1
million. $3.1
million
as a college athlete.
She had deals with Gatorade, State Farm, Nike, and Xfinity.
And where do you think that ranks compared? Like Shador, he was only in the fours, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'd say it's college football. There in terms of athletes.
Okay, so the number one college sport is football. The number two college sport is men's basketball. What's number three? Maybe now it's women's, but
I'd say women's.
How about 2 years ago?
Two years ago?
Was it volleyball?
I'd probably go softball.
Softball? Okay. So you have a sport that is not even, maybe 2 years ago, was not considered your top three in college sports, and you have a player from that sport worth $3.1 million in NIL. Just from whatever you just found right there, it's probably more because they don't have to put all that out there for us to see. This is just what we know.
So I did find this stat on how the CBA is structured with the NBA. Players are able to receive 50% of all shared revenue, which includes everything from ticket sales to broadcasting rights. WNBA players also get 50%, but of incremental revenue, which is defined as revenue that exceeds the targets the league has set for itself.
Okay, so they don't split it up fairly, perhaps.
Right.
Okay.
Or it's just the value of money is defined by the league itself, not by just whatever they're getting.
Okay. Well, and maybe that's a WNBA problem. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
Okay. So that's, you want to talk about fair, give them more of a cut if it makes sense, okay. But as far as this, it's time that we give our daughters the same opportunities as our sons and ensure women are paid what they deserve. I know trust me, the contract for Caitlin Clark blows my mind. It absolutely blows my mind, but that's what they're making. That's what the WNBA is bringing in. They can't pay out $3 million contracts, $4 million contracts.
Right, and instead of, you know, we keep talking about this with the WNBA, instead of critiquing or criticizing or demeaning those that aren't following, take this opportunity while you have it right now to promote it more than ever.
Yeah,
get on the Caitlin Clark hype train.
If President Biden really cares about all of this and trying to make it equal, and I don't even like to use that term equal, because you know me, dude, go earn. Show me you can do it.
Free market is equity towards opportunity,
correct,
not equity towards outcome.
Look at Caitlin Clark. She's making just as much NIL. I saw Caitlin Clark on more commercials than I saw any college men's basketball player this year.
She's replaced Chris Paul on the State Farm.
Yeah, she's everywhere. She was on Saturday Night Live. When's the last college basketball player, men's basketball player, when was the last time that guy was on Saturday Night Live? I don't know. I don't watch Saturday Night Live.
The Ball brothers when they were still in college?
Maybe. Were they?
Their dad was.
Their dad was, okay. So the problem here is the free market spoke loudly and said, we are fair. Be awesome. Earn. And we will give you money. And Caitlin Clark proved that. How is that? I'm not going right or left here. I'm not. I'm just saying, how do you not view that and say the free market is what do you, politically blind. Like they don't look, they're colorblind. All of this stuff. They don't pay attention. The free market doesn't. Can you make whatever I'm doing better? And if you can, here's my checkbook. Caitlin Clark just proved that.
It's a very naive thing to say, oh, women, they're playing professional basketball, they should also make the same as men.
That's
no, the league itself is subsidized by the NBA. The NBA makes so much money that they can afford to support this other league while it's on, it's still up and coming. It's only been, 20, 30 years with the WNBA?
If the NBA wasn't doing their part, whatever, if the NBA wasn't hooking up with the WNBA, they'd really be hurting. You know, they're helping them out, man. It is what it is. Until you start to see the stadiums filled and jersey sales like Caitlin Clark, you got to see it more. You got to capitalize on this now. The free market will speak loudly, bro.
Yeah, and it's a league that's less than 30 years old. It started in 1997, and women's basketball is just becoming more and more popular every year. Because of players like Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark and Paige Beckers and all of them.
But don't go tweet this out now. You should tweet. I mean, this could be a way to win over both sides here where you could say, hey, obviously if you're a fan of the WNBA and you're a player, you're not crazy about these contracts. Caitlin Clark's contract is awful. Hopefully the WNBA can grow and they can get people involved and get people excited about their programs instead of, we need to just give them more.
Well, it's almost tone deaf because it's like, we are paying attention now. We've talked about the WNBA every single day the last 2 weeks.
Correct, and that's only going to drive these contracts up. She's going to make a good chunk of money in endorsement deals.
Denver is on a short list for a WNBA expansion team.
And we would start talking about it probably.
Sure.
A little bit, yeah.
If we got a superstar player.
If it was interesting to me. If it's interesting to me, I will talk about it. Aaron says, this is also a president who thought $20 an hour for fast food workers was a good idea. I'm not going to get into all that. This is why I don't do that, Angel. But I'm not agreeing or disagreeing with you on that. Big Hub says, I think he was trying to tell us to step up and pay more attention, not necessarily saying the government isn't helping.
We are paying.
He's saying we need to ensure women are paid what they deserve. Who does then? Who does? Who's we? The free market? The business owners that you know, put their blood, sweat, and tears into their business, need to go just give money to the WNBA because to make it fair? No, I'm going to advertise on the play-in game because there's ratings
there.
Okay,
I'm a business. I want to go be a sponsor for the WNBA. Are their ratings going up? Are their viewership numbers going up? Oh, they have in the last 2 years? That sounds like a cool thing.
I guarantee you there will be more advertisers than the WNBA has ever had in their existence next season. Or this season.
Yes, they have 6, 7, 8 young women or women athletes that are coming into the league this year that they need to promote.
You don't think Angel Reese is getting some jersey sales out there? I guarantee you she's getting jersey sales.
Oh, yes.
Now people are getting into that. I mean, check this out. The WNBA draft ratings, Angel, they were 2.45 million this year. You know what the second highest was? Take a wild guess.
This was a draft event?
Yeah, the draft. Just watching the draft. Views. Watching the actual WNBA draft on TV.
Less than a million?
Yes. 601,000.
Wow.
And that was back in 2004. That was the second most viewed WNBA draft. So, I'm sorry, but until the views are there and the ratings are there, you're not going to get money. This isn't a charity. This isn't a handout. If you want people to give to charities, give to charities. The WNBA is an awesome thing, and playing sports is a privilege. It really is for money. And that's what they're doing. We're not going to give you money just because you're playing sports. It better be good. It better be good enough to draw attention. And if it draws attention, then I'm going to put my advertising dollars behind it. And then you can use that money to give the women more. Now, should there be a new bargaining agreement with the WNBA? Sure. I can't pretend to know what that's like right now. But I would imagine they need to rework it. Because yeah. Every other league has.
I keep going to stop demeaning, stop critiquing those that aren't watching, and promote it to the ones that are interested, the ones that have been watching women's college basketball.
You gotta take advantage of this and go. So I disagree, Big Hub. Like saying what he means is we got to step up. He's saying we need to ensure women are paid what they deserve. You deserve what it's worth.
Like, it's the economics. I can only give you however much I have to give you without the company going under.
Does a person in the military, I'm just a person that fights and puts their life on the line for our country, as a human being, deserve to make more than me? Yes, they do. Their job is more important. They deserve to make more than Russell Wilson. They do. They deserve it. That's not real life because the money's not pouring in. There's not enough to go around. When you look at the NFL and the amount of players that they have versus the amount of money they bring in, it only makes sense to give gigantic cuts to your players because those are your assets, and that's now the free market speaking. Quarterback's worth this much 1 year and this much the next year. So when we say and we throw around deserve, teachers deserve more, sure. So does everyday Joe that's out there grinding. But guess what? Nobody's going to his coffee shop. He's the best guy you'll ever meet. He's the hardest working guy. He cleans the toilets. You could eat off of those things, Angel. But nobody goes because the coffee's, you know, it's just kind of whatever. It's not Starbucks. It's a good coffee, but not good enough for me to drive across the town. That's the example. He deserves everything, man. He deserves it, but there's no money there. So come on. Dixon says, if I'm a business owner, I'm not going to pay to advertise my business during a WNBA game. It just ain't going to happen. You might now, though. Maybe. You might consider it now if they can present you with some facts.
I'm sure the Indiana Fever are getting tons of calls about sponsoring.
If I were a business and I was in Indiana right now, I'd be like, hey, what's it cost to get a banner up there? Because I bet you there's going to be a lot of eyeballs watching Caitlin Clark.
They're going to sell out their first home game.
Guaranteed. I want some kind of signage there. Let's do the free koozies kind of deal, man. Let's put our logo on there. That's money.
You know, we talk about not excluding women's sports from other sports. We have, you know, we spent last week talking about WNBA legends that are coming out against Caitlin Clark and bashing her. That's controversy. That's sports hate that we love to talk about with football or basketball. But because it's the WNBA, we won't give it the credit.
Yeah, it's. I just thought the tweet last night. I never ever retweet presidents. But I look at what I did, Angel. I go and I'm respectful and I say, hey, sorry, Mr. President. I don't like when people, I don't care if you're a Trump guy or if you're a Biden guy. I don't like the names and the name calling and the disrespect that we show toward our office. I do like disagree. I mean, we can absolutely disagree with politics and things that are going on, but I still like decorum. I do. I'm a fan of it. Flying Dutchman wants to bash me for my Buffs take here. I don't understand why Brady has a problem with Prime voicing his opinion on where he thinks people important to him should play. Dude, he didn't say should, bro. He said, I will allow. That's the difference. It ain't an opinion. It's fact. This is what he said. I will allow them to play here. Am I wrong on that? He said, I will allow.
Yeah, I mean, Kirby Smart would never say, I want Brock Bowers to play for these three specific teams.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love Brock Bowers. That's my
guy. If Kirby Smart came out and said that, we would riot, man. Brock Bowers is not playing for the Broncos. He's not playing for the Jets. Here's who he's playing for. We would roast Kirby Smart. We would tear him apart, and rightfully so. Primetime says, it sounds a little bit like just shut up and coach. You always go there. You always go there with the shut up and coach, shut up and dribble. That's not what I'm talking about.
I mean, even Brian Howell said it. He is still a college football coach.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's your job title.
Yeah, you're not their agent or anything. Listen, I'm entertained by Primetime as much as the next guy. But I just don't like they will only be allowed to play for the Eagles and to play for the Cowboys and to play for the Niners and the teams that I played for. Don't you get that sounds a little jacked up? Sounds a little controlling, honestly. And you don't get to control all of that. Like, you can't just... Now, I know some players have, and you know what? If Shador and them figure out how to how to glitch the system and get with the Cowboys, fine. It happened with Eli. It happened with Elway. It happens. But you're basically saying six teams, man. Elway was just saying there's one team I won't play for. Eli said, I don't want to go to the Chargers, I think. Or did he say, I want to go to the Giants? I don't think it was. When you get your choice, though, when you're first, you know, you kind of get a choice. You remember Jonathan Cushman, Jerry Maguire. He wanted to go to Denver. He didn't want to go to the Chargers. He wanted to go to Denver. And Jerry Maguire couldn't get that deal done. You know, he acted like he wasn't going to get that deal done. And so they went with Bob Sugar. And the rest is history. The Dutchman predicts Nico will admit that. In fact, it was his conversation with Brady that made him realize how lucky he is to be in Fort Collins and was the primary catalyst in his decision to stay at CSU. I found the picture of that remote broadcast we did where I sat there and I said, Coach, look at the mountains over there. Isn't it beautiful? I have to ask, why would anybody in the history of ever want to ever leave this place? And Nico looked like he wanted to punch me in the face for that. It was good.
I did
find
Manning's quote about that.
Oh, wait, Eli's?
Yeah. He said, it was my decision, having talked with my agents, coaches, GMs, and owners, that going through the draft process, I was just worried about the Chargers organization. I felt it was the right decision and had a little pull. I quietly tried to say, hey, please don't draft me. It can be our little secret. And they didn't keep the secret part very well.
So he was polite about it.
Yeah,
he's polite. Hey, guys, I think you guys are, you know, a crummy organization, and I don't want to be there, but, you know.
It won't look good in powder blue.
Big Hub says on the WNBA thing, you guys are taking me whiplash here. I love it. It truly will only come to packing out WNBA games until they get the millions they so-called deserve. Yeah, that's 100% correct. Does an NBA player work harder than a WNBA player? No. Same amount of practices, probably. They lift the same. I mean, they don't lift the same amounts, but they're lifting. And they're doing all the things that make them great at their level so they can be the best of the best. Do they deserve to make... Does Caitlin Clark deserve to make as much as Steph Curry? Does she deserve it? Maybe that's a bad example. Does Caitlin Clark deserve to make as much as Wimby? Does she deserve it? She put in just as much work as Wimby to get to this level, so maybe you could argue, sure, she deserves it just as much.
Yeah, well, how much money do you have to deserve?
Right. You might deserve it. You might be the best worker there is, but I can't give it to you. You might deserve it, bro. So it's not that tough. It's just not. So when we get on and we get on our soapbox tweets and go, this is egregious that they can't make the money. Oh, we're a society. You like what you like, man. You like what you like. And people have been watching men's sports and especially basketball for so many years. Let's see. People may tune into Clark's games for a while, but that will eventually fade. And yeah, people may tune in for the first Clark versus Reese matchup, but that's about it. Clark will carry the momentum for a while. But bottom line is that the overall product just isn't that great of entertainment. And I guess we will see. You want me to be honest? I'll need somebody to tell me when Caitlin Clark's first game is. And if I'm sitting my fat butt on the couch and I got a remote in my hand and she's not competing against watching the Broncos, the Nuggets, probably the Avalanche, a college football game, a college men's basketball game, everybody loves Raymond reruns, then I will maybe watch a WNBA game. I've never watched a full WNBA game.
May 14th.
She will not be competing with the Broncos, but she could be competing with the Nuggets and or Avs.
Yeah, and question out there, how much have you actually sat and watched a full WNBA game before?
No, I have not.
Or you said, I'll put it on for 5 minutes, I don't like this, and change the channel. That's an
honest question. If I tuned in and Caitlin's doing her thing that she did in college, and it's like, whoa, she's doing it here, I will stay.
What was it about Caitlin Clark that got us to watch the women's final?
Launching threes from China. I mean, that's what I loved. I love.
She could be the Steph Curry of the WNBA.
Her ball movement skill, like the way she dribbles, the way she handles the ball, she's
her
confident.
Attitude on the floor.
Yeah. What got me to watch it last year was Angel Reese. Angel Reese got me to watch it last year. She made it interesting. I loved the you can't see me thing, the John Cena thing or whatever it was. I love it. Eat that up, man. That's great. That got me interested. And I wasn't even necessarily rooting for Caitlin Clark to win that game last year. This year, I was rooting for Caitlin Clark because she had a better year than she had last year. All right, man, we have just blown past this. Hooligans are bringing it today. Good job. Susan and Cheryl love it when we get active hooligans. Wow. Whoa. Whoa. All right, let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
Of Colorado presents Nuggets and Avalanche games on KFKA. We are Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Kaz, voice of the Denver Nuggets. Good to be back on KFKA, baby.
Oh, yeah, I got a little note from one of our sponsors at the Eaton Country Club. Their tournament that they were supposed to have this weekend, Angel, they have rescheduled it. They moved it to the 27th, and they still have a couple of opportunities left because I think a few people backed out of it because they planned it this weekend. The weather's supposed to get crappy, so it was tough to commit to the following weekend. So if you're interested, check them out at eatoncc.net. Tanner's trying to get us out there. We'll go out there. We'll go play some golf. Look at him. He's swinging his golf club out there. Angel, you ready? You got to get going again. We're going to get this back again, man. You were so dedicated to it last year.
I try. I get into that summer craze of, I'll go out and play nine holes and feel good about two of them. But, yeah. I mean, you can only get better, I think, with every year you go out and...
It's not been the case for me.
You get your form down a little bit, your wrist rotations, all of that.
Yeah.
You hit a couple at the range and say, yeah, feeling good. Let's get out there and, shank a couple, and that's golf.
I'm kind of at the point where next time I do go, which will be at the Eaton Country Club, it's the only place I really have interest in golfing because they get you out there. They have the studs out there, but they have the duds, like me, out there as well. I'm about ready to do the Happy Gilmore thing.
That country club title doesn't intimidate
it
you.
Doesn't. That one doesn't. And again, it's not to say it's not nice. They don't have all the top of the line stuff, what they're doing and what they're operating with. It's just a different feel. If you want to come in and be the best golfer in the world and you follow every rule to a T and you've got the etiquette down, awesome. They welcome you. But if you're a guy like me that's like, I don't know what club I'm holding here, they hook you up, man. So if you're interested in that tournament or becoming a member, check them out at eatoncc.net. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. The Nuggets got the Lakers this weekend, a rematch of last year's Western Conference Finals, and I'm just not worried about it. 36 after the hour. Let's talk about that matchup coming up next. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally, like growing up with a bank you can count on. Like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling, like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
What's up, guys? It's Jack Howell, safety for the Green and Gold. You're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Last year, when the Freudian slip of things I wish for, Angel, when the Nuggets swept the Lakers, you're right. They were all really close games. Game one was 132 to 126, high scoring game. In that game, Angel, it was Anthony Davis. It was the Anthony Davis and Nikola Jokic show. Davis had 40 points, 10 rebounds, 3 steals, 2 blocks, and 3 assists. He was 11 of 11 from the free throw line. There were only 3 Lakers, Angel, and I'm going to give you a dollar if you can guess this. 3 Lakers that shot free throws that night in that game, game one. 3 Lakers, and I just gave you one.
Davis,
mm-hmm.
LeBron.
Obviously.
Russell?
So close.
He was coming off the bench, right?
No, Russell started in that game.
Was it Rui?
It was Reeves.
Oh.
Reeves started at shooting guard. Russell was the point guard.
How could I forget Austin Reeves?
Kind of a forgettable guy until you watch him, and then you're like, oh, yeah, he's like an emo dude out there.
Him and Grayson Allen have that weird trait of just...
Freaking Grayson Allen.
I'm this, you know, average white dude that's just playing NBA basketball, and I'm going to shoot 5 threes in your face.
Yeah, yeah, he's an interesting dude. But that was a blowout. Not a blowout, but that was a lot of scoring in that game. Denver outscored the Lakers 37-25. They came out the gates hot. And they were offensively just feeling it. Same with the second, 35-29. So they had a decent lead, but it was the Lakers third and fourth, really. Fourth, they outscored the Nuggets by eight, outscored the Nuggets by four, so by what, 12 in the second half to actually make it a closer game. But the Nuggets, that was that game. It just never really felt like that one was in doubt. Davis had a game. But outside of that, it felt like, okay, the Nuggets are going to take this thing. This is going to be good.
Yeah, it was the Rui adjustment late in that game that kind of spurned that comeback a little bit and then created the headlines.
We got
the next
something.
2 days.
We got something for them. That was so game two, not nearly as much scoring. It was 108-103. Nuggets win that game. And it was kind of, you know, a typical LeBron night nowadays, 22 points, but he was 0-for-6 from the free throw line. Reeves had 22. Davis was virtually shut down in that game. He had 18 points. He did have 14 boards, but nothing like the night before in that game. And this was a Jamal Murray night. He went off in that game. 37 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, and 4 steals. The lights were shining brightly on the Blue Arrow.
It's playoff Murray.
It was playoff Murray. Bruce Brown contributed 12 points. Christian Brown only played 5 minutes of that game. So that was not like one of the nice Christian Brown type games. Bruce Brown played 37 minutes. They used him. He played 37. Reggie Jackson played 3. Brown played 5. Jeff Green played 15.
That sounds like a matchup type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And, well, Murray played 43 minutes, so they staggered him a lot.
Yeah.
But that was a big Jamal Murray night. So Denver wins that game. It was the Nuggets were down by 5 at the half of that game, but they were able to outscore the Lakers 28-26 in the third and 32-24 in the fourth. And that was a big Jamal night. They just went at him, outscored him by nearly, basically 10 points in the fourth quarter. So that was a huge output from Jamal Murray. Game three, going to L.A. The Lakers have to win this game or history will tell them that this thing is over. Denver wastes no time. They go up 32-20. Storm out of the gates. It looks like they are ready to put the Lakers away quickly. But it's the Lakers that bounce back. In the second, they outscore Denver 35-26. The Lakers are showing some fight. But Denver ultimately put together the second half, specifically the fourth, outscored the Lakers 35-26, winning 119-108. And it was another 37-point night for Jamal Murray. He had two 30s. Isn't that crazy, dude? He had two 37-point nights in a row against the Lakers. And he was special. They scored 119 points in that game. He had 37, 7 boards, 6 assists. Joker with a measly 24 points, 8 assists, and 6 boards. And in that game, off the bench, guess what? Christian Brown only played 3 minutes of that game. It was Bruce Brown again absorbing most of the bench minutes, 29 minutes and 15 points for him. Game four, time to put them out of their misery. And it was the Lakers that dominated the first half. They outscored Denver by 6 in the first and by 9 in the second half. They were up by 15 at the half. The Lakers were running the show. And it was the Nuggets that held the Lakers to, remember this, 16 points in the third period.
Mm-hmm.
Every chance in the world for the Lakers to at least say they didn't get swept. They can at least have some dignity here. They're going to win one on their home floor. And the Nuggets shut them out, only allowing 16 points to their 36. That was the difference in that one.
Yeah, so a lot of second half kind of instilling your will from the Denver Nuggets. And last year, They were minus 37 in fourth quarter point differential. This year, they're number three, and they're only 1 point behind Minnesota at 100 points.
Wow.
And they're like a number. Yeah. They're a number two team defense this season.
Yeah.
Wow, so they've gotten better.
They've gotten better. They're a better team than they were last year. I mean, they just are. The West, I think, is just better, which is why we're having the concerns and debates about just how far the Nuggets will go. But you talk about inserting, you know, just inserting your will and instilling your will. Joker did that in that game, and that was the second half. 30 points for him, 13 assists, 14 boards, and 3 blocks.
Yeah, in those series or in those games, Jokic would attack the rim in a variety of different ways. He would be more a little more aggressive at the rim, not trying to get fouls or anything, but he finds a way to get the ball out of his hands. Those little flick shots that he does, the little touch fades at like the 5 foot line or whichever, draws that defense in, and then he spreads it out to the shooters or even himself at the buzzer a couple of times to just heave it over Anthony Davis.
Yeah, it was. It was just an epic night for him. I think we're going to see a lot of that. Now, you'll keep in mind, too, in that game, LeBron was on fire in the first half. He ended up with 40 points in that game. That was some vintage LeBron stuff for a while. He was 15 of 25. He almost had a triple-double himself. And the Lakers gave it a valiant effort, but were ultimately defeated 113 to 111. So all of these games, Angel, 132 to 126, close. 108 to 103, close. 119 to 108, that was the biggest margin of victory for the Nuggets, but still not a blowout. And then game four was close.
Game two was also the one where LeBron fell down on the sidelines and a drink was spilled on him.
And somebody gave him the towel to wipe him off. Yes. Wipe him off. It was a glorious time. It really was. I think the sweep's coming. I think there's going to be a blowout or two in this one. I don't. You know, LeBron talked yesterday about, hey, or last night after the game, you know, if we're at our best and they're at their best, we know it's going to come down to a possession. I disagree. If the Lakers are at their best and the Nuggets are at their best, Nuggets are going to cover the spread, 6.5.
I think we will get a really good feel for this series in game one. I think if the Nuggets come out focused, motivated, they're getting up, you know, they're going to have a type of half where they score 35 in the first.
I think they might do it in this first, in the first quarter of the first game. Mm-hmm. I think they go off, they set the tone, but then I'll be curious to see how they follow that up in the second, because in the games where they set the tone, that would have been game one, they outscored LA by 12, and then in game three, they outscored the Lakers by 12. But then you follow that up with the Lakers outscoring you by 11, and then in game one, the Laker, you only outscored the Lakers by 5. So I'll be curious, blow them out in the first, how do you come out in the second? Are you relaxed now? You go, oh, we're not intimidated. Are you going to take it easy? Or do you put your freaking foot on their throat and try to take them out early?
Well, I think back to the Warriors game this season and the one of those Laker road games where they were down in the second half by like 10, 14 points and had an incredible effort come back in the fourth to win those games.
Yeah. It was, listen, that series in four games in a sweep, it did kind of have a little bit of everything. I mean, it had the Nuggets running away, the Lakers making comebacks, LeBron spilling drinks, Joker doing Jokery things. We had playoff Murray, we had a successful bench unit. And then, you know, we had a Nuggets comeback in that fourth game. They were down by a lot, and they came all the way back and won that game and swept them.
Yeah, and it's going to feel different compared to last year because it's not a Western Conference Finals, and this is the only team you need to beat to get to the finals, to make history for this team. They've done it. They know what their motivation is, but now how do you find that in the first round?
Yeah. No, it's I'm excited for it, man. Saturday's going to be a blast. 12:50 the time. We're going to take a short break here. When we come back, we'll wrap up hour number two. I've got buy or sell coming up in the final hour of the program. Also, CSU head coach, newly extended man, made man. Can we say Nico Medved is a made man now? He's going to join us in the final hour as well. So we're looking forward to that conversation. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. A Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Keep it tuned to Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA for Preps Baseball.
Hey, Nugget fans, this is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the show. I want to thank Bruno Lilly LeClaire. You can find them online at BLL.legal or call 720-340-1373. Andy's going to join us on Friday, talk some sports news when it comes to breaking the law, and just kind of go into some of the details as to why a certain guy would hold this information, not use this information or whatever. So I'll be curious to talk to him about that. And listen, if you found yourself in a tough spot legally, maybe your own fault, maybe it's not your fault, talk to our friends at Bruno Lilly LeClaire. I mean, you hear them on the morning Good Morning NoCo every single week. They know what the hell they're talking about. They're fighting for you. BLL.legal. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Angel, Chris Bryant, he's swell, isn't he? Isn't that that was a heck of a move by the Rockies?
Swell or swollen?
Good. Yeah, you don't even need it there.
This coming out of the Rockies club information Twitter, the Rockies have announced today that they have recalled outfielder Sean Bouchard from AAA Albuquerque.
Yeah,
and have placed infielder Chris Bryant on the 10-day IL. With a low back strain.
Just 10 days? That's not, you know, that's fine. You know? Maybe he should stay out a while. Where's this going to rank in the worst transaction in Rockies history?
It's up there with Arenado.
Yeah, this one might be worse than that, man.
Somehow you got the bad end of both of those deals.
Oh, my gosh. It's just awful. It's just terrible. The Chris Bryant thing, man. It's especially when maybe it could have been avoided. Because you knew.
On both accounts.
Now, did they know he had injury history and ignored it, or did they not know, they just didn't do their research? Either way, it's bad.
I think they knew some of it, but not to the extent of how bad it was, or, you know, back injuries in sports you just don't want to mess with.
I thought at the time of the signing it felt odd, because it's like you're getting a really big-name player to pair with, to put with all of these no-names.
I would put big name in lowercase letters.
He was kind of a big name, right? Wasn't he a bigger name at one point?
He was in 2016 with the Cubs when they won a World Series.
Yeah.
And then not much after that.
That's true. You know, it's been, you know, he joined the Rockies. When did he, was last year his second season?
Yes, this is his third.
Third year, and it's been pretty rough, dude. It's been very rough. And I think every time I hear Chris Bryant's name, it just frustrates me. It reminds me of just another bad deal for the Colorado Rockies. All right, coming up, we got buy or sell, and then my chat with CSU head basketball coach Nico Medved. Just got a contract extension. He is here to stay. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.